Welcome to Straight from the Muzzle, folks, where we are anything but straight. My name is Space.
And I'm Bean.
And we welcome you to our episode, which actually is generated by an email that we had received from a fan. Normally we banter at the beginning, but we've got a lot of questions to go over. So, and knowing us, we will go off topic quite a lot.
Yeah.
Because we usually do, but that's why people like our show. So Razzie Dragon emailed us, and so we decided to make a show off of it. It's actually a very commonly requested topic. We just have never really actually covered it. But they say, "Hi, I'm pretty new to your podcasts and chats, and I was wondering if you could talk about young furries. I myself am a young furry, and I would like to know more about them. Thanks for reading this. P.S. Thanks a lot. I am addicted to your podcast now, and you are welcome." I'll message them back saying, "Hey, you have definitely spawned an interest or like a topic for us that we literally I actually asked like on Monday for people to send an email. So this thing came in like 2 days ago. So last second, like usual, Space asks you to email us, even though it's probably really inconvenient for you guys. I'll get better at this, I promise. But we got a lot of questions in. And so we will read some emails, but we are also going to be answering the questions that you guys had for us and try to answer them in the best way that we possibly can. We both have experience in this because we were both young. Well, you were young, but I was in my 20s when I joined, but
You were a new furry and I was a young furry.
So there's a difference, but they kind of intertwine at the same time. So
yes,
we'll go ahead and just start off. I just realized that none of these questions are really in order. Are they in order?
No, we can. They're not in any particular order. We could just go in the order that we received them.
Okay. So our first question, I'll go ahead and read this one. If I'm a minor, can I buy a fursuit?
This is a mixed bag kind of question, and it's a really common question too. Since I'm a fursuit maker, I'll tell you right now, if you're going to, there's a difference between commissioning a fursuit and buying a fursuit. If you're a minor, it'll be easier for you to just buy a pre-made fursuit than it will for you to commission one. And that's because most fursuit makers will not do business with people under 18. This is for multiple reasons. The primary one being that it's a legal issue in most states. Going through with a contract with that much money is usually, you know, it involves an online contract of some kind. Sending money through PayPal, you have to be over 18 to even use a PayPal. And so that's another, you know, reason to send the person money. You have to have a PayPal account that matches your name and your driver's license and all that. And these are all things you just physically can't get until you are 18 legally. So it's to avoid lawsuits. It's to avoid any issues with parents. You know, there have been, not all minors do this, but there have been enough minors who have stolen money or credit cards from their parents to pay for fursuits. And then the parents file a chargeback, and then the fursuit maker, you know, has negative $2,000 in their bank account. So that's usually why you typically can't commission.
Don't steal, okay? That's like,
yeah, don't steal, please.
Come on, I know you guys are so desperate, and trust me, we've all been there. I mean, heck, I'm sure we've all. I'm gonna go ahead and just raise my hand here. Yes, I have stolen a piece of candy from a 7-Eleven when I was younger. We are all desperate here, but never actually steal. Obviously, I learned my lesson. So there, I mean, I did it when I was 12, and I'm 32. So do the math. Don't steal. That's just, don't set yourself up for a really negative future. Just don't.
Yeah. And it can really hurt the fursuit maker's livelihood. It may not seem like a big deal to someone who hasn't had life experiences of an adult, like paying bills or, you know, having financial issues, paying rent. But when your bank account goes negative like that, it makes it impossible for you to survive. So if you steal money from your parents to buy a fursuit and it ends up getting charged back because your parents will see it, you know, that's a lot of money then it causes a lot of issues, a lot of heartache. So it's best to avoid that. I know most minors aren't going to do that. You know, just because you're young doesn't mean you're stupid or you're evil. You know, a lot of adults may make you feel like you are, but you're not. We promise you, you're not. But it has happened a handful of times, and that's why a lot of fursuit makers are wary about letting minors commission them. So most likely you won't be able to commission a fursuit, but you might be able to buy one from a pre-made on Facebook groups. You could buy pre-made suits on things like Furbuy, Furbid. I'm not sure how old you have to be to use those accounts, but you can read up on the rules.
You could also go to Walmart and get one of their really, 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 really crappy versions of them.
Go to Target, get those raptor masks. All the kids on TikTok are doing it. It's pretty cool. Yeah.
Actually, I just saw the newest rendition of a fursuit head that Walmart has. Not bad. You know what? Not bad for like $20. It's a lot better when they first came out with the ones that are just like, oh my God, that thing is hideous. But now they're looking a little bit more detailed. So they're catching on. Not too shabby. Also, your parents are not stupid. They're going to notice when a chunk of money has gone missing. So even if you think that you stole a couple of dollars or a couple of $100 bills, trust me, if it's gone missing, they're going to go two places. One, they're going to blame the other, because that's usually what we do. We blame the other. And two, when they realize it's not the other, they're coming for you. And I hope you're ready for it. So back in my day, if I stole money from my parents, which trust me, I have tried a handful of times, as soon as I heard that kitchen door, and you guys don't have to worry about this anymore because of stupid laws, but if I heard that kitchen drawer open and I heard a little bit of a jingling, I knew I was getting the spatula, and I knew it was.
Oh, yes.
It was. I knew exactly what I had done when you do that. It's just like, just don't. Okay. Don't overestimate like your parents. They will figure it out one way or another.
They will definitely.
All right.
But don't be totally discouraged. You can still buy a fursuit. Oh, yeah. You just usually have to go through pre-made. Or if you have another person your age that are making fursuits on commission, or especially locally, try that. You know, you might be able to make a deal with another young person who can make fursuits.
Or someone in your community.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe down the street.
Yeah.
All right. Next question.
Why are there 18-plus only conventions? I want to go to the convention near me, but they don't allow minors.
It's another common one.
Mm-hmm. Because not all conventions are, you know, all ages. And there are multiple reasons. Do you want to start?
Yeah. So, like, the first thing that comes to mind, so when you, like, if I have to get in the mind of a young furry, if I'm just thinking about it, like, right now, like, you guys don't necessarily think about other things. You just are in the moment and you want to do, but you don't actually like think of the repercussions of everything else of your actions. So there are reasons why conventions and, you know, meets have these 18-plus things. It's more or less of a legality, kind of like a law type of a thing. It also has to do with, you know, liabilities of sorts. There was a convention here in Utah. They ended up only making it 18-plus. If they were going to lower that age limit, they would have had to pay a lot more money to their lawyer to ensure, and we're talking like insurance here, that they could cover those of ages less. Less of an age does cost more than an adult because there's more liability to it. So there's that that goes into it. Plus, depending on the convention, there could be more adult type stuff going on there. So they don't want, you know, a child or, you know, a younger furry to see something that maybe they shouldn't. And then they go running home and splurting about it. And then boom, you're in your bed and you're grounded for the rest of your life. There's yeah. There's a lot of things that go into it, but there's reasons for it. We're not saying we don't want you there. We're just saying it's, you know, it could be a legality issue. It could be other things. And you can always email them and ask them why. They'd be more than happy to explain it.
Yeah. And like it's 90% of the time, I'll say this, it's 90% of the time a legal thing. It's nothing. It's not like the adult furries are getting together being like, hey, yeah, no kids are around. Like, no. We hate children. Like, that's not it. It's usually a convention has to dish out so much more money in order to let minors in. because of the insurance. And also, if the venue, like if the hotel is attached to a bar, or if it's attached to like a casino, like BLFC, right?
Right. Then there's more.
BLFC is in a resort with like casinos and bars and smoking areas and stuff like that. So that automatically, you know, takes children out of the picture because they legally cannot be in those spaces. So it's not that we just don't want young furries around. It's that it's usually a legal issue. So it's nothing that y'all have immediately done. It's just legal stuff.
Now, if it is something to do with like because there's a bar attached, or maybe it's like, you know, in a casino type, you know, setting, there might be those. I know BLFC is very much open to having minors there as long as a guardian is with them at all times. So I had the fortunate, you know, the fortune, I guess, good fortune of meeting a parent actually a couple of years ago when I went to BLFC, and their daughter was only like, I don't know, I think like 15. She made her own fursuit. Granted, it wasn't like the most amazing thing, but you know what? She was on the dance floor and she was dancing and she did not care who was watching. So that was amazing. And I got to talk to the parent and get to know them a little bit more. But sometimes conventions will let you come if you have a legal guardian with you.
Yeah.
So that's also something to consider as well. Take a look, make sure that's a possibility. If you can't find it, go ahead and ask the convention. They always have things like Twitter and Facebook accounts. They usually respond pretty quickly because I always ask them questions, you know, for like future topics, and they respond with like even a day. So they're pretty quick.
Yeah, they're usually really quick about responses.
Let's see. If I am a minor, can I commission artwork?
Yeah, typically, yeah. Artwork isn't as time-consuming and expensive as fursuits. Again, the only thing that could stop you from this is PayPal. You have to be 18 plus to have a PayPal legally. Of course, you could have one illegally, but or use your parents to pay the artist. Use your parents' PayPal account. But typically, you can commission artwork if you're a minor. I don't think I've seen many artists deny people who are under 18 to commission art. The only time this is coming into consideration where you will be denied is if it's adult artwork.
Right. And of course, that should be pretty obvious at that point.
Yeah, that's the obvious reason why.
If you don't have a card or you don't have a PayPal, but you have a savings, some people have like, I don't know if allowance is still a thing. It was when I was a kid. You get like,
allowance can still be a thing for some families.
You know, so if you have like, let's say you have like, I don't know, like $50 in your allowance and you want to spend $5 of it, ask your parents. Hey, I'll give you $5. Can you help me buy this? Which we'll go over that in just a moment, a little bit. I don't really see any problems.
I used to do that all the time,
to be honest. I have
when I was a young furry.
I don't see any quorums of people or qualms of people commissioning artwork based off of a minor.
Yeah, when I was a minor as a furry, if I ever wanted to commission art or buy a t-shirt off a furry website or whatever, anything like that, I just gave my parents cash and then they would give me their like debit card to buy the thing or use their PayPal to commission the artist. Like it was, you know, I was lucky to have parents that were willing to do that. I think most parents would be, especially if you're just like buying a t-shirt or something online with your own allowance money. But yeah, ask your parents or ask, you know, your big sibling or whatever, anything like that.
I had something to add to that too, but I just totally forgot about it. Oh, that's right. Probably I want to say a good 90% of the artists in the fandom want your money. So yeah, they're probably going to take your commission. They really want your money. That's like because they survive off of that money.
Yes.
So the chances of you being turned down, very slim. And if you are, then it's probably because they only do 18 plus or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, typically the only way you get denied is if it's an adult artwork artist.
My God, this next question is such a common question.
Oh, it's so common. It kind of angers me sometimes. Okay. Our next question is, how do I come out to my parents as a furry? And the reason why I hate this question is because when you say come out as a furry, you're treating it as if it's not a hobby. You're treating it as if it's a sexuality, and it's not. Like, coming out to your parents as gay is a real thing, but coming out to your parents as a furry is not really. Like, some parents might know about furries from, like, the media and might have a negative attitude about it, but they're not gonna, like, most of the time they're not gonna disown you or, like, you know, do abusive things to you because you're a furry. But that's a chance for people who come out as, like, a homosexual, for example. So putting it in that light just kind of irritates me sometimes because it's blowing it out of proportion, I guess.
You don't come out as a furry. That's just a thing. Like, for instance, if you're like a super hardcore gamer, you don't come out as like, I'm a super Mom. Hardcore gamer of this game. Like, you don't.
Mom, Dad, sit down. I need to tell you something. I like Fortnite.
And I totally killed someone in the game. Like, no one, like, your parents would probably be, like, happy that you did that because you're doing something constructive with whatever you're doing. But that's not, like, something you would come out as. Now, also be aware, like, if you are, because there are going to be those who will just come out as a furry because they just don't care or they haven't heard this episode or they just don't care. If you're going to do this, don't oversell it. Okay. Your parents are not buyers and you're not a salesman. And they know that as soon as you try to press them and try to bring on some, like, there's 100 things that are really good about this, they can smell a lie or fishiness from freaking mile away before even that question has appeared in your brain. They know. They always do. Okay. Don't try to outrun it. Don't try to move around it. They just know. So just do your thing, but don't hide it. Don't, like, keep it away from your parents. If they happen to see something, they ask it. Tell about it. Be open with your parents. You would probably be really surprised how well some parents take certain things. Because let's be honest, even as kids, as those parents, they have also done really stupid things. So they probably could relate.
Definitely. I think the best way to go around this, because if you're asking this question, then you're obviously trying to find a way to show your parents your interests. Instead of, like, coming out to them, yeah, instead of, like, coming out to them and trying to, like, sell them on the fandom, just do your thing and show it to your parents. Like, if you draw, like, draw a furry character, draw your fursona and show it to your parents. Like, hey, I drew this. I'm really proud of it. What do you think? If they ask what it is, just be like, oh, it's called a fursona. It's basically a cartoon animal version of myself.
Yeah.
Or if you draw, like, just characters in general, be like, yeah, this is, you know, just a character that I made up. It's a wolf person. You know, if they see you drawing, or if you want to make a fursuit, it'd be like, Mom, Dad, can you take me to the store? I want to buy some fabric and stuff to see if I can make a costume. They'd be like, what kind of costume? Just be like, oh, it's called a fursuit. It's like a mascot costume of these characters I like to draw. Some people online do it, and I've been wanting to give it a shot. You know, if you just make it normal, don't be weird about it. Don't be like, well, online sometimes people say that people have sex in them, but that's not true. They're just going to think of that immediately,
Sex. That's all they're going to hear and nothing else matters.
Like, the word sex came out of their child's mouth, they're immediately going to be on the defense.
Oh, yeah.
So just treat it normal. Treat it like any other hobby, because it is. You know, it is any other hobby. It might be a little bit weirder, but if you treat it as normal, it'll become normal to them. And if, you know, over time, it'll just be the norm.
Now,
you know,
obviously you're going to run across those parents that do overreact over every single thing. That's a little bit of a different situation, but again, don't press it. And we're going to answer we're going to go into that with this next question here, which is, if we're ready to move on.
Yeah, that's okay. Fine.
My parents don't like that I'm a furry. What can I do? So if your parents ever react or do not agree with you being a furry, the first thing that most young furries do is they try to fight against it and defend. Okay, a defense works if you're actually in battle, but if you're battling your parents, you will always lose. Just know that.
Yes.
Okay, you're a kid, and I know you don't want to hear it, but trust me, you will always lose. And Mom is always right, okay? So at least in my family, mom's always right. I have to this day.
To your mom is always right.
To this day, I'm a 32-year-old man, and I still have not won a battle with my mom. I just don't even know if it's worth it anymore. I want to see if I can get away with it, but I just can't win an argument. If your parents don't like you, or don't like the fact that you're being a furry, respect that decision. You live in their house. They're providing you with, and there'll be parents that'll say this, I give you a roof, I give you clothes, food to eat, I give you a ride to school, things like that. And of course, in your mind, you're not like, oh, whatever, I don't care. You know, you just don't like my choices. You don't like, you know, who I am as a person. And that's cool. You can have that thought, but also be aware that depending on where you live in the world, country, there's also laws and there's things that your parents have to be aware of and have to look out for. And if they have a reason for you not to be into this particular community, that's okay. It'll still be there when you turn 18 or when you get older, and time changes and so do opinions. So if they don't like it now, maybe in a couple of years they will. But that doesn't mean, you know, you have to rebel against it and fight them on it, because the more you fight your parents or your guardian, the bigger the chance that they're going to shut this down, and then you're going to hate your parents for it, and you're going to hate parts of your life, if not the community, for it as well, because you can't be in it. And I know that's hard to hear, but that's kind of like, what do you call it? Tough love, almost. I hate doing tough love.
And that's like an extreme spectrum.
Yeah, extreme.
If your parents are on the extreme about it and they're like, no, you cannot and will not do this. Some parents might just be uneasy. Even if you break it to them in a way that's kind of normal, maybe they'll hit up Google and then type in, you know, fursuit or furry. And of course, those results, the first five, are going to have something weird in it. And that's because the media has portrayed it so badly over the years. But if they're just a little uneasy about it, just keep doing what you're doing. If you're doing things that are, you know, clean and normal, you're being creative, you're, you know, taking the time to do something that makes you happy, they will eventually see that it is making you happy. And if they ask you, like, hey, I found this online and I know you're into this, I'm a little concerned, can you explain it or can you tell me what this is? There are resources online you can send them. There are good media videos, like the Lisa Ling Furries documentary. There are shorter videos too online that like different news stations have done. There are different articles. There are furry made videos like the Magic of Fursuiting videos that are around. There's artwork you can show your parents. There's, you know, actual comic books that are published and stories that are published using anthropomorphic characters that you can use as examples and just be like, you know, it's a little bit of a weird community. So some people have blown some bad stuff out of proportion, but I just really enjoy art and I really enjoy expressing myself this way, you know, and I'm glad you asked me because I didn't want you to think that I am like this if you're not, you know.
You could tell them that, like, you know, hey, I fit in here. I feel, you know, like I'm accepted. Sometimes that word right there, it actually goes a long distance, because parents know when they were kids what it's like to not be accepted and of those sorts. So they might actually be more engaged. But if, like, maybe they are on the weary side, like you had mentioned, there are conventions that have dedicated little blogs about the furry fandom, and they explain it in a really clean and easy way for parents to understand, along with people who are just generally curious about the furry fandom. And you can always give them those links too. I'll put some links at the bottom of this particular episode of just references that you can use. Lots of podcasts, lots of live streams, lots of groups, conventions, you know, YouTube videos. They all talk about it. Everyone has their own version of it. But overall, in the end, they all want the best thing. They want you to be able to be in a community that is good for you, but they also want to make sure that the education is out there so that your parents or guardians can also understand what's going on, so that there's no, you know, locked doors for a reason. You know, they know what's there, and it's good stuff. It's good stuff.
And just one little last thing. If you try, ooh. If you try all this stuff and your parent is still on the extreme and wants to ban you from it,
back off.
Like Sway said, it will always be here when you're 18. But if it's just something that genuinely makes you happy and you need it, then you can still draw. If your parents aren't super controlling and aren't like monitoring every single thing you do online, you can still join the online community. You may not be able to go to meets. Yeah, you may not be able to go to conventions yet. Sure. But most of the community is based through online interaction. Yep. So if you have any sliver of privacy, you know, through the internet, then you can still be a part of the fandom. It's okay. You don't have to, you know, have a fursuit. You don't have to go to furry conventions and all that stuff in order to be a part of the community.
Now, if you are worried that your parents will overreact, you can always go around. And I know this seems weird that I'd be mentioning this, but if it all fails, join the anime club at your school, because everything happens in anime. Furry.
Furry
bronies. Everything is an anime. So truly, you could be like, hey, I'm in this anime group at school or in this club, and I just discovered this aspect of it and I really like it. That actually might work. I'm not saying that like use that option, but that could actually work. Pull one over your parents' eyes. I'm not condoning that you should do this. But it might be a good way to segue into the furry fandom over time, because that's something that's more accepted, because it's there and everyone loves anime.
Yeah.
Even your grandma, even though you probably don't know it. And she doesn't know it, but she'll know it. All right, you're on the next question.
Okay, the next question is, how can I get better at artwork? I've been drawing for a year now, but I feel like I haven't gotten better. So let me just say, if you're a young person, a year feels like forever, but it's not. As an older person, a year is nothing. A year goes by in a snap for me. So like, if you've only been drawing for a year, your improvement may not be extremely visible right now, but continue practicing, and I promise you, it will improve drastically. When I was in 9th grade, my art looked completely different from when I was in 12th grade. So again, it's only been a year. Keep going. I know a year feels like a long time to young people, but it's so fast when you get older.
Also, so I know that like in elementary school, depending on where you're coming from, I think my elementary school was kindergarten through 8th grade. No, 6th grade. And then 7th and 8th grade was junior high. That's when you could do electives and you could take like art classes. Once you're in junior high or high school and you have the ability to take an elective, or they call them electives. In California, they call them something else.
Electives and connections.
That is a new one. I've never heard connections.
Two words.
There's another thing in California. If you're a California fur and you know what I'm referring to, please let me like just say it. But you can take these like other courses and you can do art. It doesn't have to specifically be drawing. It could be like painting. But trust me, you could actually apply a lot of that you'd learn from those into your own artwork. And you might actually be able to improve a little bit more. You can also go to art jams too. What is an art jam? Well, I'll tell you, because I'm going to tell you anyways. on Telegram, there's a group in Utah called Furry or Utah Art Jam. And they get together at a coffee shop. It's always the same coffee shop. And it's not a very big group. There's a lot of people in the group, but not very many people actually show up. And they all show up and we have a good time. I think there's been a minor there once before. But what the cool thing is you can draw. I know that my husband takes his artwork there and he will ask one of the guys, is Hey Writer, that's his name. And he'll be like, what would you say would be good to improve on? This is what I've done so far this week. Or this is what I've done in the past couple months. Do you have any like advice? Hey Rider is actually a really good artist, so he's actually able to give points here and there. Felix's art has really improved. He does art every day. He actually lays on the couch. He's doing it right now. And he does art. It could be like something very simple. Sometimes it's really detailed, but he does it every day. You don't have to do it every day. You could do it you could do it like once a week. But never give up. Maybe look for groups that you can join and then go and do these art things. It actually would be another good way to introduce your parents into this world, because one, you're in a public setting and we all have to behave in a public setting. So it's just a good way. Plus they get to see art. They get to meet people in the group. There's a better chance that connection is going to be really solid.
Definitely. And just one extra piece of advice, like, and I know this is an overused term, but in order to break the rules, you have to know the rules. And this is just overall for everybody in art. If you're looking to improve, try drawing some still life, try drawing some realism. I know that's like, oh, that's so boring though. But if you learn how to draw the thing in real life, then you can draw it stylistically way better. I know a lot of young furries love drawing wolves. Feral wolves is like the thing. Go to YouTube and type in how to draw a wolf or how to draw a dog. And there are step-by-step, like, sometimes they're kind of long, like 30-minute long videos, but they're step-by-step and they teach you how to draw realism. And it's super helpful. I use them as an adult. I use them all the time. Go to the zoo. And it can be really fun. Yeah, go to the zoo, draw some animals.
And you can, sorry, I didn't mean to cover up over you.
No, you're
good. One thing that I've always done, it's drawing using perspective. And it's also, so it's a really interesting style. I learned it in a private art lesson. And it's probably got a common term for it, but instead of looking at your pad, you kind of subconsciously, you see that they're out of the corner of your eye, but you look at whatever it is that you're drawing and then you make those etchings, your brain will actually just kind of put one and two together and know where to go with. And you can kind of like make little things here and there and try to draw it by looking at it and observing. Use that perspective. That actually works out really well too. So you could try that and then try actually taking that and improving it into something better.
Yes.
All right. The next question that we got. Let's see. How can I design my character without tracing? I'm not good at drawing, but I want my design, but I want to design my husky fursona.
Free line art on Google, DeviantArt for Affinity. It is everywhere. Especially with references. DeviantArt might call them bases sometimes, but
what they call them.
Yeah, if you Google like free canine reference line art, there are dozens of artists that draw basically just the line art for you and you can color it in. And you can print it out and color it with color pencils if you don't have a tablet, or you can save it and make it transparent and then draw it digitally. Colored in digitally, change line art a bit if you want. Just make sure you follow the rules of the free line art, like in the description. Usually they'll have rules like, you know,
acknowledge the artist,
credit me. Yeah, credit me, don't erase watermark. That's basically the primary rules of using free line
art.
Don't
sell it, things of that matter. Mm-hmm. Other than that, they want you to use it because they want you to get better. There's artists out there that actually really want you to become better, believe it or not. As far as how competitive this, you know, community can be. You're the next question.
Where do I start when it comes to making my fursuit?
Your first fursuit.
For real? YouTube.
Yeah. That's where you learn.
YouTube is one of the... Yeah, YouTube is really strange in the furry community because back in the early 2000s, it was huge. Mainly for, you know, people showing off their suits or making... you know, fursuit time-lapse videos. And then it dropped off for a while. And now furry YouTube is about people who buy fursuits and just want to talk in front of a camera or make skits and stuff. So, like, YouTube has always been a big part of the furry community. But literally, there are so many tutorials on YouTube on how to make a fursuit. The first step to making a fursuit is researching as much as possible. And I know most students are visual learners. Being an educator, there are people who are auditory learners, who are kinesthetic learners, but most people are visual learners paired with some other type of learning. So if you can find a video, watch it. Watch it multiple times. Watch multiple videos. Read things if you want to. But YouTube has a lot of free tutorial resources that you can get into.
Bean, oddly enough, has not credited herself in this because she also has made a tutorial on how to make fursuit feet paws, and I think I did pretty good for my first time around.
Oh yeah, that tutorial is old now. I don't make feet paws the same way, but it definitely can be great for people to work
with. It was a learning experience, I will tell you that. I spent, I think, and this is when I didn't really care about sleep, I think I spent 3 hours a night for a week trying to build these first few feet pods because I wanted to be ready for the next live stream. I think I did pretty good. Mm-hmm. I actually took them to BLFC and I wore them because I was so proud of it. They were they weren't like fully done. They weren't like furred or anything, but I'm like, this is actually kind of cool. I want people to see that I did this on my own. It's really cool. I liked it.
I like making tutorials. I want to, whenever I retire from fursuit making, I want to make a lot more tutorials so I'll have time.
Okay, this next question I do see, I don't see it a lot, like obviously like in person, but I see a lot of questions and I see people talking about it all the time. And I hear the most ridiculous answers on it, but we'll tell you for like the real good answer. There's that too. I like to wear my tail to school, but people bully me for it. What can I do?
Don't wear it to school.
There you go. Simple as that.
I know that sounds tough. I know that sounds mean. I used to wear my tail to school every now and then as well. I get it. You're excited about being a furry. You want to show your furry pride. But there is a time and place for everything. And bullying isn't right, no matter what the person is doing. I'm not saying that you deserve to be bullied for this because those kids are still being assholes for bullying you. Not gonna lie. But if people are bullying you because you're wearing a tail and a collar to school, maybe it's just not the appropriate place to be wearing a tail and a collar. It's a little strange outside of a furry setting. And so kids will take advantage of that and will use it as a way to take out their anger on you, pretty much.
And it's unfortunate, too, because, like, you know, okay, elementary school, you get bullied. It doesn't, and that seems like it's awful when you're going through that. Then you get to junior high and you kind of get a taste of it. And truthfully, when people say this next phrase, it is true. For the most part, the next 4 years in high school, four or three, depending on, you know, where you go, is going to be hell. Whether that's like, and it's not for everyone, but, you know, you're going to get bullied or there's just going to be things that are just really hard to do, really hard to think about. And the one thing you don't need is a target on your back. And you
or on your butt, to be
really
specific.
And like, that's a good one. But that's the thing. Like, so I look out to you guys because I want, you know, you guys to be able to have a good life and I want you guys to enjoy school. As someone who is bullied all of their life, I was even threatened on a school bus with a knife. I've gone through a couple of things. I've been jumped. The one thing you don't need is a target. If you can stay low and just get things done, that is the best present you can ever give yourself. I know you want to wear that tail and I know you want to put, you can put like tags on your like on your backpack. That's fine. But don't try not to wear ears or a collar or, you know, your tail at school. It might be like, for one thing, if it's like, I don't know, like month of October, I think that's okay. But like all the time, you don't need that target on your back and you shouldn't have that target on your back. I want to save everyone who does, but that's just one thing less that you have to worry about than kind of going into school with that. And I hate to say it, but you're kind of asking for it at that point. You're expressing yourself, but you're also asking for those who you don't want to interact with to come at you at full force.
If you want to show your furry pride, if you're stoked about being in the fandom, there are other ways that you can express yourself, like wearing your badges on your book bag or on your lanyard or getting furry t-shirts like Hyena Agenda shirts, yeah, or anything like
that.
Those are fine. You can, and those are really cool because like you can attract other furries without being super loud about it. Like I saw someone wearing a Hyena Agenda shirt at the mall and I leaned over at my friend and I was like, look, a furry. like straight up. So like you can show your pride in other ways without making yourself a target. And I know it's tough to hear because I did the same thing. I wore my tail and collar to school for a whole year in ninth grade. Like, and luckily no one got too, you know, mean with me. You know, I got made fun of here and there, but it's just not the appropriate place to do so. And I know you're excited, but, you know, it's just, that's just the reality of it. If you want to wear some sort of tail to school, if you make your own, make little tail keychains.
I was just going to say that. Go to like Hot Topic and buy one.
Yeah, put it on, they're like, really
on the side
cute.
Of your, like, on your pants. Like, I have a carabiner that I have always just put it on the side of my hip. But if I ever wore a tail or something, if I wanted to go to work with it, I probably would just put it on the side of my hip. No one would think they have anything.
Yeah. Or instead of wearing a dog collar, just wear a dog tag on a necklace. I did that, and that was a pretty mild way of showing some furry pride and you know, a youthful way, but it was also my diabetic ID, so it was, like, also useful.
Another really... go ahead.
No, that was it.
Another really cool way to wear the collar without drawing attention is wrap it around your wrist a couple of times and then connect it with the little connector thingy. It makes a kick-ass bracelet. It just looks good regardless. It kind of looks like you put, like, a bandana on your arm, but it is amazing looking. Try that. That also works.
Yes.
Where's an anklet?
And it's just if you're an anklet collar, I love that.
Yeah. I mean,
on Etsy, you can actually get collar bracelets. They're meant for you to have a matching collar with you and your dog kind of deal. But, like, if you're a furry, that's low key cute. Like, yeah. I love
There's ways to do it that still work.
And if you get a teacher or a principal, like, if you're wearing a collar to school and a teacher or a principal blows it out of proportion and tells you to take it off,
take it off.
Don't take it off. One, yes, take it off. And two, try not to take it too personally. There is a big reason for that. And I'll tell you right here as an educator, most adults, when they see a collar on a person, they do not think furry. They think of something sexual.
Yep.
And so wearing that to school is another reason why that is highly inappropriate. And that's why a lot of adults will probably give you strange looks, not because they know what a furry is. It's mostly because they see a child wearing a collar, which can be concerning.
Mm-hmm.
So in a furry space, that's totally normal, totally average. Around your house, around your friends, totally normal, totally average. At your school, it's not the best idea. And I want y'all to feel like you can express yourself. I am all for that.
Absolutely.
But we also want you to be safe, and we also don't want people to make assumptions about you that could be hurtful.
There is a time and a place for everything.
Yes.
And that applies to everything. All right, next question.
Do you need a fursuit to go to a convention?
No.
Nope. Most people at furry conventions do not have a fursuit. If everybody had a fursuit, it would be impossible to get around.
Oh my God, yeah. You can see, like, cool. They do, like, fursuit, you know, group photos, like, at the convention.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look at that, and then you look at the amount of people who actually attend. Like, there could be, like, 4,000 attendees, but only maybe, like, 100 of those are actual fursuiters.
Yeah. You might feel like most of the convention is fursuiters, but that's probably because they are large and in your way.
But, I mean, it's kind of fun, though, because if you don't have a fursuit, then it gives you more reason to go up to the fursuiter and get their attention and give them a hug. They love it.
Absolutely.
So, do it. You don't have to. I think it's more fun to not have a fursuit, to be honest, because then I can take pictures of other fursuiters and stuff. So, it just depends.
If you're at a furry convention, this is kind of off topic, but if you're at a furry convention and you want to talk to a fursuiter or get their picture, but you're nervous, please do it, because if you're a fursuiter at a furry convention, fursuits are so normalized there that nobody really pays attention or wants your picture much anymore. So, like, if you want to go in for a picture, most fursuiters are elated. So go for it.
Yeah, they want it. They want you to take a picture. The more, and plus, it's, let's be honest, it's also an ego booster for the fursuiter. So it makes them.
It definitely is. I'm not going to lie.
It makes them feel like there's something. So if you're a new furry and there's a new suitor, there's a connection there, and that needs to be made.
Especially if you make your fursuit yourself. Oh, like, yeah. It kind of just makes you feel better about something you made.
All right, the next question. How do I make friends in the fandom? Same way you make friends in real life.
People, yeah, you talk.
Literally.
It might be a little bit more difficult for younger furries because the furry fandom is more adult-oriented. Mm-hmm. Like, there's more young adults in it than young people. But... you know, same advice as we've given in the past. Try looking at your local furry groups on Facebook or on Google. Sometimes you'll have charity groups or meetup groups, art jams, stuff like that. Maybe there are some people in your school. If you see other artist friends or other artist students around, you know, just take a little peek at their sketchbook when they're drawing at lunch. You know, just see if you can see what they're drawing. Or just make friends with other artists in general, because most of the time they're exposed to the furry community in some way or another, and could either become interested in the fandom because of you, or you might, you know, meet somebody who just so happens to be a furry because you noticed that they were drawing.
And also in chats. Telegram,
yeah,
you can start chatting with people in a group. And more than likely, I mean, all I have to do literally in my group is just drop either a picture or a comment. And then there people are starting to talk. And then that's about it. And then you start to meet people you find like interests within the fandom. And then you start to become friends over time. And that's just, it's the same way. It's just online. It's a little bit different, but it still works. It's kind of awkward, but so is the fandom. So
yeah, it can be at first. My only advice is that online, just be careful online. I know that's overstated and you're like, oh, whatever, you know, not all people online are like evil. It's like, that's true. Yes. But you gotta be careful. You don't want to make friends with, you know, a 25-year-old if you're 12 years old. It's just not normal. It's not right. Just be careful.
I have come into situations where I've had people come to me and they start talking with me. And so the first thing I ask is ASL, age, sex, language. So that's
language.
What do you think it stands for?
It's okay, honey. ASL is something that people at Grindr throw in your inbox.
Age, sex, location.
Age, sex, and location.
That's what I meant, is location.
Don't say that to people when they message you. That's creepy.
No. Well, I don't always say that at the beginning, but like, when I'm talking with someone,
or you just ask how old they are. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll ask them like, how old are they? And then they usually say like, oh, I'm in like my teens. And I'm like, okay, I just want to let you know that, you know, and I'll say like, as a precautionary, like, because you're a minor, there are certain things that I will not talk about. So don't engage in it. And they're usually pretty cool with it. So
it's usually pretty chill. Yeah. Yeah.
But just be careful. Don't, a lot of people, you know, you think when you're younger, you're like, I made a friend and it's the best friend in the world. Be careful, because there are also predators online. So use your best judgment. Maybe ask some other members in the group if they know this person. If you have a question about it, if something throws you off, go with that and ask someone about it.
Use your guts.
Exactly. If you feel weird about something, a red flag should be going up and you should be asking yourself questions. Okay. Don't pursue past that and just push it to the side. All right, next question, and this one's pretty common too. I just got my first tablet and started uploading my art online, but some people are making fun of me for it. What do I do?
Oh my gosh. So this question makes me really sad, because one, you should never bully people for trying to be creative and for starting out as an artist, because everybody starts somewhere. And I also just really relate to this, because when I was a young furry and I first started making fursuits, I feel like I've grazed over this before. Maybe we'll extensively talk about it in a different show, but I was bullied pretty heavily for my first like 2.5 years of fursuit making, because my fursuits were ugly. And I made my fursuits in the early 2000s, my first handful of them, back when tutorials weren't really available online. You just kind of had to figure it out by yourself. The best tutorials you had were on LiveJournal, and those aren't video-based. It was all just writing, and that's hard to figure out. And I was cyberbullied pretty hard. I got death threats from adults telling me, like, hey, your fursuits suck, you should kill yourself, like, stuff like that. To the point where I left the fandom for a year to try and improve my fursuits well enough on my own in order to return and not receive death threats. So, like, I understand how this feels, and I'm sorry you're experiencing this. The best thing you can do now in today's, you know, online world, since it's so different than how it was when I started, is to just block them.
Straight up.
Like, no lie. Just block them. You don't need that negativity in your life. If it's just one or two people, just block them. I had an unfortunate circumstance of having a whole LiveJournal community bullying me, but that's not really as common now. You most likely just have one or two assholes. Block them.
And then there also might be some people out there, too, that will come to your aid and actually fight for you, too. So it just depends.
Definitely. Yeah. Ask for help.
There's no reason why you shouldn't ask for help if someone's bullying you. So
for every bully, there's going to be a handful of people that are there to support you. And I don't mean, like, ask people to go and attack this person, because that'll just make you even more stressed out. People that are there to support you, to make you feel better, to help you grow and just find your place in this artistic community. You might get bullied because there's going to be bad apples in every group, but you can block them, make your timeline, you know, or make the people you surround yourself with positive people. If bullies are coming into your space, kick them out.
Especially like on Twitter, you can actually make it so that you can approve people who comment and see your profile. So if you only want to have a small group of friends, then leave it at that. But if you're going to keep it open, there's going to be that chance you can just block them. On ours, when we make tweets, not anymore. I think more or less it's positive. Every once in a while we get someone that like says something or has like a freaking panic attack and just totally bully spams our comments. I let them do it. I let them do it so we can show others what an ass they are.
Yeah.
Purposely, I do that because I'm not going to give them fuel to make this flame bigger. And two, I'm not going to acknowledge it. It's just something that I want people to see. Yeah, there are people who are going to say bad things, but I want others to have a chance to step in or to see this person for what they are. And that's straight up just as it is. Now, if you are on our thread and you're being bullied, you better believe I'm going to come and I'm going to shine at your side and just destroy the person in like one tweet, because gays are really good at that. So
yes,
we can make someone cry in like 5 minutes flat. Easy. It's not hard to do.
I'll give them my mom glare.
It's not hard to do. Trust me. Like we are perfectionists at zoning in on people's weaknesses without them even knowing it. And then we just destroy them. I don't use that power unless I absolutely feel like I have to. So if you're being bullied, once again, come to us, ask us, or ask your friends, you know, ask for help. Don't be afraid to ask for help. And when in doubt, block them. I was trying to think of a rhyme, but couldn't really think of anything good. When in doubt, block that shit out.
Kick them out.
Kick them out. That works. So there's that. Now, I mean, I'll be honest too. Sometimes I see some artwork and I'm just like, wow, that sucks. But I don't tweet it because it's not nice. I just keep it to myself.
Yeah, there's a difference between, you know, mentally thinking something and then physically saying it. I mean, your actions speak more than your thoughts.
I might say something to my husband or a friend, but
but that's not in
It's not in a public space, and I don't think anything of it as of the artists themselves. I'm sure you guys are just trying the best you can, and then I'm just I'm roasting it for the moment. But overall, I think I've gone pack, and I've seen like, oh, hey, these guys got really good art. They've improved.
Usually if I roast an artist, it's typically like adult professionals who are just ignoring any and all practice, like especially male comic artists that draw women without any organs
or
in their
waist. Boobs that are way so big, and it's like, really?
Or like yaoi hand comics. Like, come on now, you're an adult professional.
My eyes are up here. No. Come on.
That's different. That's different than bullying like an artist on the internet. It's like everybody pokes fun, but like that's not poking fun. That's cyberbullying, and you are definitely allowed to cleanse your space of negativity. That's the most hippie thing I've ever fucking said on this show. Cleanse your space of negativity.
Dude, as soon as you were saying that too, I thought of you like holding up your peace sign. I'm like, that's something she would say.
I instinctively whip out a peace sign anytime there's a camera around. It's just my arm reacts in that way.
I don't do the peace sign, and if I do, I do like the classic like Asian thing where I like try to make my face look cute. And I go,
oh my gosh.
Hi.
Okay, last question is, I want to go to a furry convention, but the rules say a parent has to be with me. Will it be weird if they come along?
Maybe.
It might be, but like, you never know until you try. And most furry convention spaces are pretty friendly to all ages. If it's an all-age con and they're allowing you to come, then they're ensuring that the general space of the convention will be friendly to all ages.
And they're more than likely knowing that there are going to be people there from the news or from a journalist, you know, blog, wherever. It's going to be there in the public. So they know that you're going to be there. It's going to be weird, but like, it is what it is.
It Like, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It will be strange for them at first, especially if they're not used to the furry community. Now, if they know you've been drawing or making costumes for a couple years now, they might be more used to it. But it is different in person than just seeing what your kid is doing on their own. Like, since I, too, was a young furry, and I had my boyfriend at the time, his mom dropped us off, but went inside to, like, sign a waiver while we were there, because that was the requirement for that convention specifically. And when she walked in, you know, the first thing she saw was a drag queen wearing, like, furry stuff and in a very skimpy outfit, working as staff who directed us to where registration was. And, like, it's amazing, but it's weird to someone who's not used to that kind of thing. So, like, yes, it was technically, like, it wasn't sexually provocative or anything like that. But it was literally, like, we walked in, and that was the first person who talked to us. So it's going to be a little weird. But if they've been supporting you, and they're supporting you enough to go with you, I've seen plenty of parents with their kids at Furry Week in Atlanta, and all of them seem to be fairly accepting and seem to have a good time, even if they're not furries themselves. So don't knock it till you try it. It may be a little weird at first, but I'm sure you both will get the hang of it.
Pretty nice, because let's be honest, a lot of people in the fandom have been bullied. They know. So, like, they're nice, and they're usually overall pretty helpful. So, I mean, it's going to be weird for the first time, but I think, you know, after some time, like maybe like after an hour or two, the parent might be like, okay, I can kind of see where my child's head is now.
Yeah, exactly. And like, especially if you go to a lot of the events, like fursuit dance comps, everybody enjoys those.
So much fun to watch.
Everybody enjoys those. Any kind of like, there used to be furry masquerades. I don't know if those are a thing anymore, but they were basically like fursuit skits. You know, any bands that are playing, anything like that, you know, your parents will see that it's just a group of artists having a good time, and who knows, maybe they'll get into it.
Right. Fursuit parades. Did you already go over that?
I did say fursuit parades, but that's a great one too. Everybody enjoys a parade. And like panels, there are some panels that are made for parents of
specifically.
Furries.
So go to them. Take your parents to them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Your parents may not fully understand, but after some point they'll kind of get where you're at and they'll be okay with it. Some of them are really just okay with it, and then that's that. They probably don't ask you after and, like anything else. They're just like, I'm not gonna ask my child anything else about this community after this.
And at the end of the day, I know I didn't think about this much as a kid, maybe a lot of y'all don't either, but like, if your parents are willing to go to a convention with you and are most likely paying for the ticket and all that stuff, when you're on your way home, just, you know, show that you appreciated them spending that time with you. Be like, hey, you know, I know this might have been a little weird at first, but I really appreciated you taking me and coming with me. I'm glad I got to share this with you. Saying something like that to your parent as a young person hits them right in the heartstrings. That will be something that they remember their kid saying to them for forever. Say it. Say that you appreciated them taking you. If they had a good time, you know, it can be something that it's a memory that y'all shared. So even if it was a little weird, you know, everybody has, you know, you got some extra life experience.
Oh, I almost cried when you were saying that last bit.
Buddy.
I'm like, it's so beautiful. I just, you know, like, I think of myself, I'm an adult now, and I think if like a kid, if I were to take someone, you know, and they were to say that, I think I might cry, because I'd be like, oh my god, thank you, because we don't hear it enough as adults, you know, from kids saying thank you. They're just so grabby, go. When we get a thank you from someone, it's the best thing in the world. It's, I don't know.
And not like the obligatory thank you to like your mom for making dinner or whatever. Like a genuine thank you for spending time with me and for taking me to this. You're supporting my hobby and it means a lot. Like if you really mean it and you say it in such a way, then it will mean the world to your family.
Anyways, that's our show. There's lots of more questions I'm sure we could ask. And, you know, there were some emails that were sent in, but I will actually just read that as a bonus So you'll see this one uploaded, and you should see something that's like 10 to 20 minutes. And those are emails that people have sent in too, that you can also kind of listen as well. That'll probably just be done by me just as a single kind of a thing. But I do appreciate those who have emailed in and those who have asked questions. If you have I tried to make it organic. If you have any additional questions, just ask. Don't be afraid to ask. We would gladly love to answer or help out wherever we can.
Yes, we love talking to y'all, whether it's a question, mm-hmm. whether you have a story, if you have a suggestion for a show topic or for a guest, you can email us at talktothemuzzle@gmail.com.
Yep. And then we also have our Telegram and all that fun stuff.
Yes.
But anyways, that's our show, and we will see you guys next time. Have a good one.
Bye.